Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently. Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have The Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get The Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
The winds of change are blowing through Raider Nation, and Silver and Black Today keeps you up to date with the latest news and views about your Las Vegas Raiders.
Touchdown, Las Vegas!
With insight, opinions, and interviews, we're on the cutting edge of what's happening now. Now, with the latest on your Raiders and the NFL, your host, Scott Goldbranson and Mo Moten.
Welcome back. Silver and Black Today,
the Tuesday edition.
All right, welcome back, everybody. An Odyssey original podcast covering the Las Vegas Raiders and the two of us. Yes. Frickin' Frack, whatever you want to call us. Ebony and Ivory. Whatever you want to call us, you can call us that. We are your host. I am Scott Goldbranson. I'm joined by my good friend and broadcast partner, Mr. Mo Moten. He's a national NFL writer at Bleacher Report, also a Raiders columnist. Up on sportsnot.com, you can follow him on Twitter at Mo Moten. That's M-O-E-M-O-T-O-N. I am at LV Gully, the show, SNB Today. If you don't already subscribe, what the heck is wrong with you? Make sure you do it. Wherever you get your podcast, you will find Silver and Black Today. So do that. Put on the auto download. That way you don't miss a show. And there's so much going on now. You just never know when we're going to drop something as well. If you're watching us on YouTube, hey, hope you're good. You're in the chat. You're having fun tonight. Thank you so much for being with us. Subscribe. Hit the notifications bell there as well. Okay, Mo, a busy week already. The quarterback market is being set. Derek Carr on Monday gets a $100 million deal, 4 years with the New Orleans Saints. And then Geno Smith gets a 3-year deal over $100 million, reports up to $125, somewhere around there. Not exact yet as we record the show, but certainly Geno Smith and Derek Carr are kind of set in the quarterback market. We kind of expected Carr might be the first domino to fall, and indeed he was. He goes to the NFC South, where you were screaming 7 weeks ago that that's where he was going to go, and guess what? He ends up there. And so we are now in a position where we know two of the quarterbacks are lining up. We're coming off the combine. We're going to get to that conversation, but with this breaking news yesterday, want to start with there. Tell me, Mo, your initial impressions with these two quarterback deals.
First of all, I find it hilarious how people are trying to frame Derek Carr's contract to fit their narrative to say I was right. And I'll be the first to say, look, I said Derek Carr would be in the range of 28 to 32 million. To me, the way I look at his contract, I look at it in terms of guaranteed money, because how many players actually finish out the entire length of their contract? So the way I look at it is Derek Carr got $100 million for 3 years. If you're going to look at it, actually, I'll put it this way. It's $70 million for 3 years, simply because that fourth year, there's no guaranteed money on that year.
Right.
I believe it's $60 million up front for the first 2 years, and then $10 million if he's on the roster
March. Yep.
So 70 for 3 years, I'll say. But if you want to stretch it out and say you want to stretch it out for the length to exclude the non-guaranteed year, it'd be 3 years. about $100 million. So that's good for Derek Carr. And you didn't mention he got the no trade clause again. So to me, it seems like Derek Carr did pretty well for himself. Now, again, there'll be people out there say, oh, he got a lot less. I think his contract right now is basically on par with what he had with the Raiders. Plus, he gets more guaranteed money. So I think if you're Derek Carr, if you're his agent, you did a pretty good job on the market, despite what people are going to say. The Geno Smith contract is interesting because in the first year, he's going to get $52
million. Yeah.
So, and it to me, the way I read it, averages out to about $35 million per year. So the big takeaway for me is the middle tier of quarterbacks, you're going to get around $30 to $35 million. And I think this is important to note for Raiders fans because all reports are that they're after Jimmy Garoppolo. And I think Jimmy Garoppolo is going to command about $30+ million. And Vinny Bonsignore, you have the Las Vegas Review Journal, said he doesn't see the Raiders paying Jimmy Garoppolo on par with what Derek Carr got. So if it's below $30 million, I would consider it. If it's above, if it's $30 million above, no pass, no thanks.
Right. And what that points to me, Mo, is that the Raiders are going to roll with a Jarrett Stidham. I still think they're going to get a young quarterback. Where we're going to get to that in a minute when we talk about the combine. But right now, if they're not going to pay the going rate for a good quarterback, not a great quarterback, clearly, because those two guys set the market right now, but they're not top tier quarterbacks. So you look at Jimmy G coming off the injuries and all that. Some people are like, well, he's not an upgrade from Derek Carr. Yeah, you could say that because of his lack of availability. The guy has won playoff games, right? So he has something that Derek Carr doesn't. He's the same age. And so, yes, I don't think the Raiders should pay $35 million a year for Jimmy Garoppolo. I think you roll with Stidham if you're going after a young quarterback. If the Raiders do sign somebody like Garoppolo or someone else, Bridgewater or somebody like that, then that tells me that they are not necessarily going after their young quarterback this year. So if they make a signing pretty quickly here, then we don't know what's going to happen. But Mo, I think if you look at the situation and how this is all netting out, it certainly points to a combination. What we've been saying for a long time now, right, about the Raiders quarterback situation is they're going to roll with some sort of veteran, Jarrett Stidham, somebody like that, and then they're going to bring in a young guy. And I don't even consider Chance Garbers a player in this. He might be in camp, yes, because he's under contract. But right now, to me, this is where the rubber hits the road for the Raiders, because they have to decide if they're going to sign a free agent. The dominoes are falling now, right? We saw this happen starting on Monday with those two quarterbacks. You're going to start to see deals happen.
Well, the first thing I think is going to happen is they're going to re-sign Jarrett Stidham. There was a weird tweet. I think you remember this, Scott. Someone said, Jarrett Stidham doesn't even want to play for Josh McDaniels. Remember that?
Yeah.
I don't know if you remember that tweet. They're probably going to re-sign Jarrett Stidham. It'll be Jarrett Stidham over Jacoby Brissett, in my opinion, because Jarrett Stidham has been around Josh McDaniels for the last, 4 years. The wild card that we haven't mentioned in this is Aaron Rodgers. Now that Derek Carr is in New Orleans, what if Aaron Rodgers wants out of Green Bay, but he doesn't want to go to the Jets?
Ah.
Do the Raiders then step in and say, well, we're interested in Aaron Rodgers, but we're not going to give up a first-round pick for him? So this is the proposal I heard from Connor Rodgers, who's a former Bleacher Report host. And I found this interesting. He said he doesn't think the Jets would be willing to give up a first-rounder this year for Aaron Rodgers. Next year, yes, but not this year. So if the Packers drop the price, and I said this on a previous show, if the Packers drop the price for Aaron Rodgers because he doesn't have a strong market and they just want to part ways with him, I could see the Raiders jumping into the conversation if they say, okay, we'll take a second round pick this year, and then we'll take a conditional second, third round pick next year. Now, again, I wouldn't give up a future first for him because he could retire after next season. But if they're asking for second, third round picks, which I think Pat Daugherty said was his compensation price for Aaron Rodgers until scouts corrected him and said, no, it's going to take a one. If they drop the price, then I think the Raiders might get involved.
Yeah, it'll be interesting because that's what's happening, right? The Jets are waiting, and the Jets may be, the last in line for a dance partner, and there's no partners left, which would be really unfortunate for them, but that's the way it works. You know, if you don't jump on your guy and you have second thoughts, you're not sure and all that, and you hem and haw, guess what happens? The Saints sign your guy, and then if Rodgers stays in Green Bay or if he ends up in Las Vegas, wherever he ends up going, if anywhere, then suddenly you're down the old creek, they say, in the vernacular. I will save the one word, but you know what it is. So interesting times, and it'll be funny. But yes, the Derek Carr signing, clearly money wise, I'm sure when we learn more about the contract that they have some similar outs as well. The guaranteed money is there. So good for him. Derek Carr bet on himself. And overall, he didn't do too bad, right? He could have done much worse, but the market there was for him. And he found the great opportunity as well. And I think you mentioned it on Twitter as we close on this item, which was there was no wonder the Raiders were not hip to Derek Carr giving him permission to talk to teams. Because look, he went to talk to the New Orleans Saints, and the Raiders allowed it, and it ended up, as you said at the time, I bet you they sat down and talked and said, okay, we want to do this, but guess what? We'll wait till you're a free agent, and then we'll come back and talk to you. And that's exactly what happened.
Absolutely. And I think, again, to reiterate, the contract is set up so that $60 million the first 2 years, then $10 million if he's on roster in 2024, and then another $30 million. But the Saints have it now after year two, where the Raiders had their out after year one, that extension. So
yes,
Saints can get out after year two. I don't think they're going to cut him after year one because they would be on the hook for about $52.8 million in dead money. So
yeah,
he's going to be there for at least 2 years for financial purposes. So as you said, I think Derek Carr, with the quarterback market the way it is, a lot of people were saying Derek Carr is not going to get more than $25 million. Derek Carr is not going to get more than $20 million. I'm like, do you know what the quarterback market is these days? The going rate? We got Daniel Jones out here asking for $45 million. Now, right. He's not going to get that, but still, no. The quarterback market for tier two guys, again, is about $30, $35 million. And people say, well, we need to stop talking about Derek Carr. And I think it's important. Again, it's important. I reiterate this. It's important that we do have this conversation because Jimmy Garoppolo is in that same tier. Yes. No matter how you feel about Derek Carr, the league has Derek Carr and Jimmy Garoppolo in that same tier. So if Derek Carr is getting in low to mid 30s, then that's Jimmy Garoppolo is going to be around that mark, give or take $5 million.
Right. And even like a Jacoby Brissett, not in that range, a lower than that, of course, but still it sets the market, right? It sets the market for the other veteran quarterbacks based on where they're at. So you have an idea if the Raiders do sign another veteran outside of a Jarrett Stidham, for example, what they might have to pay is based on those numbers. So that's why it's important. It's a good point. Rest of this segment, I want to talk about the NFL Combine, Mo. NFL Combine takeaways for the Raiders. Listen, the focus of this Combine, again, just like everything else in the NFL, was on the quarterbacks, okay? The quarterbacks, it tells you where the NFL's at. So all of you Raider fans out there who I respect and love the interaction, defense, 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 guess what? The quarterback is still and will be for a long, long time until something changes, the most important position on the field. So guess what happens at the NFL Combine in a year where you have a handful of quarterbacks that are making names for themselves, that becomes a story. And of course, the big name that rose up, of course, you have CJ Stroud, you have Bryce Young. They've been the number one, two for months since the college football season started. Will Levis was there. He's kind of fallen back a little bit. Now you have Anthony Richardson. Anthony Richardson now is the bell of the ball. Everybody is just excited about Anthony Richardson. Raider fans are excited. They want to draft him. They want to move up to draft him. We're seeing all these reports. And Mo, here's my point. You know, I've been on this for a week, which is this hype is ridiculous. I think, look, young man is talented. Young man has unbelievable abilities in the raw form. But Richardson, to me, is the highest risk and maybe highest reward, but definitely the highest risk. It reeks of a Al Davis pick later in his life to me, because you get so blinded by his raw ability and some of these GMs. And by the way, I'll be self-critical. The media is ridiculous on this kid. The media is in love with him, promoting the hell out of him. And to me, I just don't understand it, because the tape doesn't lie. Okay. Guys running around in their pajamas does not impress me as much as guys on film in their college games. Tell me if I'm wrong and tell me that I'm right, because you know I am.
You're not wrong. And I said this, on my Bleacher Report live show on Friday, as a parting message, that yes, you want to pay attention to the testing, because the testing will either confirm what you saw on film and tape, or it'll make you go back and question some of the things that you thought you knew about that prospect. But don't fall too far in love with the underwear Olympics, because that's not a simulation of an actual game.
No.
You see quarterbacks throwing again. There are no defenders. There's no pass rush. You know, there's no clock management. There's no high pressure situation in terms of another team defending you. Now, they have to perform. It's a live interview. There's that type of pressure. But as far as a defense in front of a quarterback or a wide receiver, right, a running back. It's totally, it's not that. So your best indication, your best assessment of a player is which is what he put on film over the past year, 2-3 years. It's not what you see at the combine. Now, there are certain things I think that are important at the combine as far as measurements are concerned, because, you know, as far as offense, I'll just use offensive tackles as an example. The average offensive tackle has an arm length of 34 inches. So if a tackle comes to the combine and he measures at 32 7/8, you may question if he could play the position on the pro level. But as far as the testing is concerned with the quarterbacks, I like what I saw out of Anthony Richardson, but I knew he was a physical specimen. So I didn't expect him to, you know, have all right. these records, but I knew he was going to test well.
Right. But the records, I mean, listen, these are combine records, folks. Oh, he beat Cam Newton's record and blah, blah, blah. It doesn't matter. I want to remind people of this because, yes, raw ability matters. There's no question that this young man, if he could put it together, could be lethal. But if he gets drafted in the top of the first round, like some people are saying, Mo, he'll join a very small group, right? In the last 10 drafts, three quarterbacks who completed fewer than 55% of their passes have been drafted. Trey Lance is one of them, okay? Now, Trey Lance came off a COVID year where they had one game, so that's why maybe he was under 55%. The other two were Penn State quarterback Christian Hackenberg and Trace McSorley, who went as a sixth-round pick to the Ravens in 2019, as clearly as a backup quarterback. That's it. So 55% doesn't usually cut it. You look at, he doesn't have dominant college tape like you talked about. You look at the comparison because a lot of people, Mo, want to compare him to Cam Newton. And I understand it. It's his childhood hero. He went number one in 2011. I get it. But remember, here's the key difference, folks. So don't talk to me about Cam Newton because Cam Newton was coming off one of the most dominant seasons in college football history when he came out. He carried an Auburn team. Okay, the entire year. So this is not the situation with Anthony Richardson. He started just one season in college. He was 6-6 record, 17 touchdowns, 9 interceptions, 53.8% completion percentage. No quarterback in the past 20 years has had success with similar marks like that coming out of college, including the completion rate. Now, there's always the guy who changes the dynamic and could blow it away, be a Cinderella story. But, Mo, if I'm the Raiders, and I'm specifically talking about the Raiders now, if I'm the Raiders, and am I, as Dave Ziegler, am I going to put my job on the line for this guy? Absolutely effing not.
I'll say this for the Andy Richardson people. I could see it on one side if you're another team like the Colts, because I think the Colts would consider Andy Richardson. I actually think the Colts are going to draft him at 4 because I think with Chris Ballard,
that's
maybe once an athletic quarterback, Shane Steichen, the new head coach, just coached Jalen Hurts to a Super Bowl. Now, of course, different body types, but as far as being a dual threat quarterback, Anthony Richardson fits in that mold. As far as it relates to the Raiders are concerned, I think with Josh McDaniels' offense, he wants a quarterback who's going to be accurate in the intermediate and short zones. And that was my question mark about Anthony Richardson. That's where he struggled because he puts a lot of velocity on his passes. I think the way I see it is he's a one-speed thrower. So he's throwing darts downfield, 20 yards downfield. He's also throwing darts 5 to 10 yards.
That's why he's not accurate.
And part of that is also his footwork. I think he admitted this, that he has to marry his footwork with his, with his upper body and his arm. And I think that's an accurate assessment or criticism of himself. So I think it's important to note those things with Josh McDaniels' offense because he's going to be looking for a quarterback to be accurate in the middle of the field, and Anthony Richardson was not that. Now, you can put out all the numbers and you can add context to it and say, well, he didn't have, you know, NFL talent around him in Florida, which is true. He didn't have an elite head coach on a collegiate level, which is true, as CJ Stroud had. He had CJ Stroud, great supporting cast. We know what Ryan Day has done at Ohio State, but, you know, Anthony Richardson didn't have that coaching and he didn't have that supporting cast. So I understand that. My problem again is I just don't think he fits with what Josh McDaniels wants as far as, again, throwing in the middle of the field and getting those easy first downs and moving the chains, because as I said before, the one thing that drives coaches crazy, offensive play calls, is when you can't make the easy throws.
Correct.
And I think until he shows that he can adjust his velocity, that's going to be an issue.
Not only that, but again, the completion percentage, and people kept pointing, well, you got to watch him in the Utah game. Well, the Utah game, he ran 3 plays. That was it. I mean, he ran three plays. That was the whole game of why it was such a spectacle to watch. And listen, he's just not ready. This kid could have used another year in college football, but I get it. If teams, if somebody is desperate enough and willing to sacrifice their job to take him, i.e. the Colts, in the top 10, if this is a second rounder or a third rounder, okay, I get it. You give him 2 years, see how he does. But it's crazy. And I don't think the Raiders, look, all draft picks are a risk. No GM hits on everybody. But if I need a quarterback and I'm looking for my franchise guy, I'm not going to take a guy who's going to have a 90% chance of not making it. And I'm just making the 90% up. But I'll take a CJ Stroud, even a Bryce Young with his small size and everybody criticizing that. I'll take a Will Levis over this guy because I have more tape on him and I can tell you and I can see what he needs to fix, but I can also see what he does well. So, all right, we went long on this segment because we had so much to talk about. We'll continue some of the combine talk when we come back. We got lots to talk about here on Silver and Black today and Odyssey Original Podcast. You're with Mo and Scott. Don't go anywhere. We're coming back right after this.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Welcome back. Silver and Black today, an Odyssey Original Podcast covering the Las Vegas Raiders. I'm your host, Scott Gilbranson, and my co-host, my partner in all of this is Mr. Mo Moten. Producer is David Stepanian. Thank you all for being with us again. We appreciate it. Make sure you subscribe to the show if you haven't already done so. If you're watching us on YouTube, hit subscription and hit the notifications bell. Okay, Mo, we talked about the first segment. We ended the first segment with the combine stuff, but I got to continue this because the combine cup, I used to love the combine. Now I sort of despise it because I think that as a media group, we have gotten so enamored with covering these guys that we don't always look at it objectively. We're talking about stats and numbers. And while there are things you need to pay attention to, important to scouts, again, I go back to what so many people are saying anonymously from NFL teams in the press, by the way. I don't know why they won't put their name on it, because the NFL loves the combine apparently, is the fact that the tape is what matters. And so you go to this thing and suddenly it's a big groupthink exercise. I can't believe I hear people I respect. There's lots of people I respect and I disagree with them and that's totally cool. But I watch them and they're all saying the same thing. We have people commenting like they're a matinee idol. Oh, look at his biceps. Like, to me, it's just really odd. We've not progressed past the point where it's just about performance. We're getting all of this weird take on, well, yeah, if a kid's a good kid, of course, what's he going to do? Get up there and tell you he's not a good person? It's just really odd to me the way the combine has grown, the way the combine has changed. Where are we, Mo? Has it become too much of a groupthink exercise? Has it lost some of its effectiveness?
I honestly believe it's because of what social media has become. So a lot of people want to post things for their clicks and links and sound bites and stuff like that. So they're trying to, you know, pet up these players just to get that, just to get the eyes on their work. So I think it's probably before social media blew up, went to the combine, it wasn't a big deal.
Yeah.
Because I remember, I forgot who told the story about Calvin Johnson. And I apologize, but someone told a story about Calvin Johnson going to the combine in his year, and he didn't know that cameras were going to be there. He wasn't going to run the 40. And when he found out that cameras were going to be there, he told his guy to get my cleats. And he ran a 4.4 flat. And I tell that story because it goes to show how much when you know the attention is on you, when you know they're going to be extra eyes on you, you tend to do a little more. And I think that goes for the media. So when the media understands that whatever they tweet out of the combine being on site is going to get picked up by these media outlets and websites. So they're going to say things to I don't want to say outrageous things, but they're going to fluff up their content just so that they can get traction. So they make it, in my sense, I see it as a way to make it about them as well as the players. So they're trying to take some of that shine. But I will agree with you in the sense that I think we overblow some of the things at the combine. The 40, I love watching guys run the 40. Mm-hmm. But to me, it is an overrated drill simply because your offensive line, I think Jermaine Illuminati, Raiders offensive tackle, said this. Your offensive linemen are not running 40 yards downfield. So who cares what their 40 is?
You know? I know. It's the only indicator if that offensive lineman's a good athlete.
What you're looking at with offensive linemen is the explosiveness, the 10-yard split, because that's important. The drills are important. The mirror drill when they have to mirror the defender and make sure they stay in front of the guy. That's important. The 40 for an offensive lineman is not important. I mean, even for QBs, how many QBs are running, unless you're Lamar Jackson, Jalen Hurts, how many QBs are running 40 yards down the field? Now, it was great to see with Anthony Richardson, but like CJ Stroud, I don't think he even ran because it didn't make any sense because he's not going to be running 40 yards downfield for the most part.
No, and some of the agility drills, I get it. The vertical drills, Anthony Richardson, yeah, the explosiveness, you get that a little bit, you understand it, and so you do that. It's just remarkable to me, though, again, that there will be some GMs who fall into this. There will be GMs who are going to fall in love with a guy because of the combine, and I'm telling you, a few of them will lose their jobs because of it, because they get sucked in to the narrative, and they lose all sense. We see it happen every year. I mean, you look at some of the guys last year at the combine. I even go back to a guy that I actually love as a receiver, but he has not been an all pro, and that was DK Metcalf. Remember, he kept falling in the draft, but man, DK Metcalf running in the combine. DK Metcalf was going to be Calvin Johnson. He was going to be the next Hall of Fame wide receiver, right? Hasn't happened yet. Hasn't, not even close yet. He's a good wide receiver, don't get me wrong. But this stuff, I think for fans who fall into it, and I'm not being critical of fans, I'm just saying a lot of people get hyped up about it. You and I are seeing it with the interactions we have with Raider Nation. They're getting these high expectations for these kids based on running in their underwear, like we talked about. And to me, that's dangerous. You have to think more about some of these scouts, some of these draft guys who do things based on the college tape. To me, listen, can guys surprise you at the combine and come out of nowhere because they went to a small school or something? Absolutely. But overall, I think people just need to temper their expectations and understand that they're all there guessing too.
Here's the thing, two things. One, I think a lot of the combine oohs and ahs are coming from people who didn't watch a lot of film or tape. And I don't say that condescendingly, but let's be honest. A lot of people are not poring over film and tape all day. You know, I mean, I'll admit, I'm not watching as much film as the film junkies out there. So some of these guys that showed up at the combine were kind of new to me and what they could do. But if you're not watching a lot of film and tape, you're going to be in ooh and awe of a guy who runs a fast 40, does well in the drills, because that's your first exposure to that person. Now, the other thing is, I want to say that the combine is still important. I don't want to throw out the combine and tell people don't watch the combine because it's not important, because it is. Because again, I point out the drills. The drill sessions, to me, in my opinion, are much more important than the 40s. I just think the 40s are overrated. But as far as like, you know, doing the position drills, that's important, because a guy like Kaylee Ringo, who didn't track the ball well in his position drills as a cornerback, people are going to question, well, is he going to be able to pick off passes in the NFL? Is he worth a first round pick at that point? Now, he ran a fast 40. I think he ran a 4.36, but I don't think he did all that well in the position drills. And I think that's more important. So if you're looking at, if you want to have something to pay attention at the combine, the position drills, and even though we're not going to hear about what went on behind closed doors, the interviews are important. Interviews. And of course the medicals for guys who are coming off injuries. So those three things to me are the things you want to look at.
Medical and interviews. Absolutely, Mo. And I think the position drills you're talking about are important, because you might, for example, for an NFL team, they might say, hey, we like this cornerback. He's out of Alcorn State, somewhere like that. We like the film on him, right? We see him, he plays well. He's playing competition that's not, of course, SEC competition. So we get him out on the field and we run him through drills to see, hey, could we coach this kid up? Does he have the ability to make it to the next level? Does he have lateral movement that looks good on tape, but we need to see it in person to see? So I agree with you 100% there. It's not the sexy stuff, right, that we're sold, the 40 and the vertical and the throwing of the core. Now, the quarterback's throwing, okay, I get it, right? But again, the quarterback who threw the ball the best, the two quarterbacks who threw the ball the best are not the talk of the combine. That, of course, was C.J. Stroud and Will Levis threw the ball the best, but they're not the two guys that are still leading the charge. It's Anthony Richardson and it's still Bryce Young. So again, that goes to show you the mixture. So yes, I agree. You don't throw the baby out with the bathwater, no question. It still has value. I just think the groupthink because of, and I didn't think of it your way, and I agree with you 100%, is the social media machine and how people talk about this stuff and going to get themselves into an uproar based on a tweet from a reporter here, a tweet from an analyst here, a tweet from a coach there. And suddenly this guy is going to be maybe the number one overall pick when a lot of people projected he might go in the third round in this draft. So just craziness, but interesting. And I think that's what fans need to do, right, Mo, is they need to just look at it and say, if you're going to watch the combine stuff in future years or go back and watch some of it if you missed it, is watch those position drills, the stuff that might not make it on SportsCenter, but it is the stuff that you want to go back and take a look at if you're really interested in a player.
Now, the Raiders don't have a high need at wide receiver, but talking about position drills, Jackson Smith and Jigba, catch gauntlet drill, that was a teaching test for the catch and gauntlet drill. Ran in a straight line, hands up, hands away from his body, able to pull the ball in. Again, straight line all the way through. And he was coming off, I believe he missed a lot of time because of a hamstring injury this past season, so he didn't play a lot of games. So seeing him coming off that injury, doing that drill at ease was an eye-opener. I think that's something like that is important. Again, it's not going to get all the highlights because everyone's paying attention to the 40 and the vertical and the broad jump, but something like that you can look at with a play and go, we want a guy like that because he can run slants and crosses at ease and move the chain. So I think with Jackson Jigma Smith, he definitely raised his stock, could be one of the top wide receivers off the board.
Mo, before we move on and take our final break here on Silver and Black today, I want to ask you a couple guys that stick out. Of course, we know the Raiders needs lots of them on defense. Up front, the draft is deep at defensive end. It's pretty dang good in the middle, too, defensive tackle, as well as defensive back, very deep. Did anybody stick out to you that wasn't on your radar before the combine that you say, hey, that might be a good fit for the Raiders?
I hope I don't butcher his name. Okay. Adetamiwa Adebore out of Northwestern defensive end.
Very good.
Ran a fast 40, also did well in the drills, looked very agile. It's a guy that wasn't on my radar coming into the combine. This is what I mean that, yeah, I watch film, but I'm not pouring over for hours like some of the junkies out there. He wasn't on my radar, but his performance at the combine definitely stuck out to me as a guy that could be a second, third rounder if the Raiders want to go in the second, third round and have a guy come up behind Chandler Jones. Mm-hmm. Adebore could be a guy that they look at. He stood out. I think he was one of the biggest winners at the combine.
Yeah, in fact, you texted me about him the day you saw him. You're like, man, I was impressed with this guy. And so I went back and watched it, and I'm like, I can see why. Quickness was awesome. Like you can see him, and you think about it. Yeah, you get in the second or third round and give him a year or two to develop. Could be very good and could be the situation like you see with Max Crosby, where you get a guy who's a little underrated, needs a tad bit of work, not a ton, and he could really surprise and end up becoming a really stellar NFL player.
I'll go on the other side and give you a concern. Not that this guy didn't do well at the combine, but Tuli Tuipulotu, who I mentioned last week, and I had to slow down before I butchered his name. He only weighed in at 266 pounds. You're not going to play. And that's another important part of the combine is that these school websites can list whatever they want. Similar to your driver's license. On my driver's license, I can put that I'm 6'2". And I'm well under 6'2". The schools look at whatever they want on these websites. So
wait, you're not 6'2"?
Surprise, people. I'm not 6'2". But I mean, it's just like the driver's license. The school can put whatever they want. He was listed, I believe, at 6'4", 290. Mm. And to go to the combine and tip the scale
30 pounds.
66? Yeah. That's a big jump. So he's not going to play defensive tackle next level. He's probably going to have to remain outside. I don't know if the Raiders are going to want a tweener. It depends on what they see on film and they think he can transition. That's another important part. The measurements, the height, the weight, the arm length, as I mentioned earlier.
No question. Interesting times. All right. We're going to take our final break. When we come back here on Silver and Black today with Mo and Scott, we are going to talk about free agency. Oh, yeah. The free agent period, we talked about at the start of the show, the two quarterbacks on Monday, but it's been quiet on the free agent front. In fact, it's been eerily quiet on the free agent front. So we'll talk about what implication that may have for the Raiders and when we might start to see some action there. You're listening to Silver and Black today, an Odyssey Original Podcast. We will be back right after these words.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. It is the home stretch here on Silver and Black today. We appreciate you guys being with us as always. If you haven't subscribed to the show, do us a favor and do that. Turn on auto download. You can get it wherever you want. What I love to do is walk in the house and say, "Hey, Alexa, play Silver and Black today." And then it tells me, "Why do you want to listen to that?" No, it just plays it. So there you go. Wherever you get your podcast, you can listen to it. I am Scott Cobranson, your host, along with the man, and we can't do a show now without it, and that is, of course, my partner, Mr. Midtown Mo Moten.
Hey, look, it's Midtown Mo.
We can't, man. Okay, like the fans, the listeners, they gotta hear it, and I love it because I take a shot at a lot of stuff, right? I mean, when I go back to 2017, and I started the website Silver and Black Today. I started the podcast, which then led to numerous radio shows, and you know, being on Raider Nation Radio, and being on CBS Sports Radio, and being on Odyssey Now as this national podcast covering the Raiders. Lots of ideas. I throw things at the wall. Some of them really work. This Midtown Mo thing is catching on, Mo. I see people calling you Midtown. It's not just like once. It's like regularly now.
And I said this on the previous show last week. I said it's actually really catchy. It's more than a handful of people who now refer to me as Midtown Mo. I almost changed my Twitter handle. I may still consider it. Who knows? I'll think about it again in a couple of months to see if it's widespread. If I get a national reporter or writer refer to me as Midtown Mo, then don't be surprised.
Well, and I want to get Broadway Joe Namath say, "Hey, Midtown Mo, I'm Broadway Joe." I mean, listen, look, there's only two of you. There's Broadway Joe and there's Midtown Mo.
We got to get Kelly to get Tim Brown to address me as Midtown Mo. If Kelly can get Tim Brown to address me as Midtown Mo, then I'll definitely officially change.
Oh my goodness, that would be good. But I'm just glad it catches on. By the way, he is Midtown Mo Moten. He is the national NFL writer for Bleacher Report. You can also catch his Raiders content. He is a columnist up on sportsnot.com. You can catch my work up there too when I get off my button right there. And you can follow me on Twitter, LV Gully. Also, the show SNB Today. And you can find us on YouTube where you can subscribe and hit the notifications bell for us as well. All right, Mo. So we talked about the combine, which is really pre-draft, right? We're going to get into a lot of draft talk over the next 7 weeks until the draft happens. But what about free agency? You and I have talked about for weeks that, listen, the Raiders draft, even at the quarterback position, would be informed by what they do in free agency. Now, we see Derek Carr, we see Geno Smith, the two big dominoes to fall early in this period of time for free agents as far as quarterbacks go. But overall, a lot of talk around the league about this, Mo, is that the free agent market and the free agent movement has been almost completely non-existent. We've not seen any moves happen here, which is strange. Usually, even smaller moves you start to see happen, but there's been nothing. And I wonder, too, what that means for the Raiders. But, Mo, just the overall issue, the lack of free agency signings so far, what do you think is the cause, and how do you think it'll impact the Las Vegas Raiders?
Just so we're clear here, guys cannot sign until Monday, the legal tampering period opens, I believe, on the 13th.
Correct.
Just want to put that out there. But as far as the lack of moves are concerned with guys getting released and signing, like Derek Carr, once you, if a team releases you, you're free to sign wherever you want. So those guys, free agency starts early for them.
Right. But, what I mean by this, though, is we know guys, even though you can't officially sign, look at the last 2 years. There was the deals leak out, of course, because the agents put them out there. We've seen like none of that.
Well, if you were following the combine, I don't know if you were, but I believe Matthew Judon, now this isn't a free agent move, a signing, but he said DeAndre Hopkins to the Patriots.
Right.
I'm just saying. Now, I think the Cardinals are going to move him because they have a new front office and he mm-hmm. wants a new deal, reportedly. I think Jordan Schultz of The Score said this, so I think he eventually gets moved. But I get to your point about, at times in years, we've known, like, okay, this player's probably going to sign here. This player's mm-hmm. probably going to sign there. One, I would say kudos to the teams for keeping their targets under wraps. And as I said, the other thing is, I think at certain positions, the market is going to be slow. It's like wide receiver, right?
Yeah.
Wide receiver position, I think Juju Smith-Schuster and Jacoby Myers are going to be the top guys in free agency at the wide receiver position. Not a lot of star power there. So I think what's gonna wind up happening is those two guys are gonna feel their offers and take their time. So if a market is very thin, there's really no rush to even commit and there to be a leak. So a guy may say, okay, I'm gonna have five or six offers. I don't have any rush. Let these teams get into a bidding war for me, and then I'll decide where I want to go. Whereas before, maybe guys have maybe decided early, and then it gets to the team, it gets to reporters, somebody leaks it. But, I mean, Derek Carr being the first major domino to fall, mm-hmm. I think the trade market this year is going to be more interesting than the free agent market. Aaron Rodgers, as we talked about earlier, I just mentioned DeAndre Hopkins. Reportedly, I read a report Monday that the Titans are shopping Derrick Henry. Mm-hmm. Jalen Ramsey's out there, and we spoke about him. So if you're mm-hmm. looking for some offseason fun as far as personnel moves are concerned, take a look at the trade market because a lot of guys are going to be on the move.
That was my point in bringing this up, was the free agent market. You know, you have guys out there, of course, and some names, but the trade market, we've seen the trade market, including the Raiders last year with obviously the Davante Adams trade. We've seen this trade market in the NFL really heat up as teams move around. Now you have the draft too, right? So you have the draft coming up, you have draft capital. Teams are going to get more draft capital, so they might be willing to make other deals. We talked about the Bears. You know, the Bears look to be trading the number one pick away, but who knows? They also have a quarterback that, depending who you talk to, they're in love with or they're not. And so they might end up looking to move Justin Fields. We haven't heard that lately, but you just never know. So this whole market and what's happening in the NFL, we now know the Raiders are going to have $235 million as their cap, because the cap is $224. The Raiders adjusted carryover is $11 million. So you look at the Raiders not only have the ability to go sign free agents, Mo, and of course to draft who they need to draft, but they also have the ability to swing a trade for a guy who might have a bigger cap number because of that room.
And I'll connect this back to the Jalen Ramsey conversation again. I really think the Raiders should consider bringing Jalen Ramsey in. And remember, when he left Jacksonville, he listed the Raiders and Tennessee Titans as the teams that he would be interested in. Now, he's a Tennessee State native, so that makes sense. I don't know how he feels about the Raiders now, but, and remember I said this, the Raiders need to go cheap at quarterback so they can build their defense. If you go cheap at quarterback, you can afford a guy like Jalen Ramsey on the back end who could solidify your secondary. So as you mentioned, the Davante Adams deal, I think with the way Dave Ziegler has operated, and this goes back to last week's show, we talked about this, he's not going to telegraph his moves. A lot of people want to know, what's the plan? What's the plan at quarterback? What are they doing? Dave Ziegler is very, very, very close to the vest with his plan. So if he could surprise you with a trade you didn't even think of. The one that I think everyone's paying attention to is Jalen Ramsey, but don't be surprised if there's another guy that we don't know is on the trade block that the Raiders try to acquire.
No question. And I think that that's what's going to be interesting about this Raiders squad. And actually, to your point, with the, and I'm going to go on a little bit of tangent here. And we've talked about this here on the show before, Mo, which is the fact that the media today is different because you start to see, yes, you see leaks, right? Who do they come from? Like the car deal.
Agents.
They come from agents, but who's reporting them? The guys that work for NFL Network. And yeah, ESPN here and there too, right? They get their little share of them as well. But overall, you see state-run media. Let's call it what it is. We all watch it. We all consume it. I understand. But it's state-run media. So I think that's part of the reason we're not seeing more leaks about interest in deals and all this kind of stuff is because the teams are like, well, I'm not going to leak it to the local beat guy, or the agent's not going to leak it to the local beat guy. They're going to link it to the guy at the NFL Network who they know is going to channel it, has more viewers, has more reach, and do all of that. So it's sort of interesting to see all this at play, because this time of the year, you go back 10 years and you had people breaking stories all over the place about stuff. So just an interesting side note from my perspective.
And that, this is related, but not a continuation of what you said, but fans listening to me right now, I want fans to understand, and I mentioned agents and how they, you know, they leak things to reporters or whatever. Pay attention to how things are reported. And, yes. I go back to say that things get out because people want them out. So I'll use Derek Carr as an example. Sunday night, a report came out from Jeremy Fowler of ESPN. He said that Panthers, Saints, and Jets are in on Derek Carr, but Derek Carr is leaning toward the Jets. Mm-hmm. And I tweeted, I said, I want to see Derek Carr in New York because I want to see how he does in this market, but I still think he goes to the Saints. And what happened on Monday? He signed with the Saints. So I want to decipher that really quick. When you see a tweet like that from Jeremy Fowler saying Derek Carr is leaning to the Jets, that was a nudge from, in my opinion, that was a nudge from Derek Carr's agent to say, Jets, hurry up and make your decision. Because we're not going to wait around for you to wait around on Aaron Rodgers. We want to make a decision now, because remember, reports were out that Derek Carr wants to sign with the team before free agency officially begins. And the Jets are sitting on their heels waiting to see what Aaron Rodgers does. And Aaron Rodgers, we don't know when he's going to make his decision.
Right.
So when that tweet comes out, when that report comes out, to me, it was a nudge to say, look, we want to sign now. We're interested in you, but you have to commit to us right now. We're not going to wait around for you and Aaron Rodgers another 3-4 days. So again, when something gets out, a report like that, a rumor like that gets out, be mindful of who would want it out and why.
Right. And I will tell you, despite my dislike for as a quote unquote journalist or commentator for David Carr, I don't know the guy, so I don't dislike him personally, but the Carr PR machine did a masterful job. It did. It really did throughout this whole process, outside of the stupid podcast thing that David Carr was doing. It really did. It was a well-oiled machine. You have to give credit to the Carr camp. They played it perfectly. And you just gave a great example of why, right? Not only does that tell the Jets, hey, hello, give us a decision, but it also tells the Saints, guess what? The Jets are still interested. You may want to close this deal now before we get the offer from the Jets. So they can play both sides of it. And it was really done well. And I think a lot of NFL players who are watching it should take note of it and use the tactics. Sometimes we dislike them because we know where they're coming from. But, hey, it works. And as long as it works, other people are going to do it. So we'll see how that all shakes out. But, yeah, I agree. The free agent market, we don't know yet until next week. But the trade market, I think, is going to heat up. And we're going to see what happens. Mo, what's your gut telling you before we say goodbye to everybody here on this episode of Silver and Black today? What's your gut tell you on the Raiders and a veteran quarterback when it comes to I think they're going to sign Jarrett Stidham here within the next week. And I think that's going to be it for a while.
I think they're definitely going to re-sign Jarrett Stidham as a placeholder, because I think they're not sure what Jimmy Garoppolo's market is going to be.
Right.
You know, because there are going to be multiple teams going after Jimmy Garoppolo. The Jets could be in on Jimmy Garoppolo if they don't get Aaron Rodgers. So it would be prudent for the Raiders to keep Jarrett Stidham under the belt, just so that you have a veteran who knows the system in place and then you can go from there. The other move I think the Raiders should make, and I tweeted about this over the past weekend, I think they should resign Jermaine Illuminar.
Yep.
And simply because right tackles on the free agent market are going to be going for about $14-15 million and up. I think he can get a Luminar for half that, and he was pretty solid. Again, I know he had the penalties. That was his first year as a full-time starter. I think he can vastly improve in the area, but he's already good in pass protection. I think one of the priorities should be to re-sign him, and if you're going to look on the defensive side of the ball, re-sign Rakia Sin. So those are the two moves that I'm really, really looking for. But one more car point before we get off air. I'm just gonna one more thing. As far as his contract is concerned, remember he was going into 2023, $40.4 million guaranteed. He over the next 2 years, he is now getting $60 million. So for you people out there saying that, to your point about Carr's PR machine did a good job, whatever you want to call it, he is better off now than he was with the Raiders. I'm not saying the Raiders are. I'm saying he, as an individual, his situation now. Go switch team with a consistent front office. They have a top five defense. Now they need some skill players because we don't know what's going to happen. Alvin Kamara and Michael Thomas may be out of there, but he's in a very good situation in a weak division, being paid good money.
Well, and Mo, before we go here, I will say too, they are right now the favorites to win that division.
Right.
Just because he's there. Now we'll see what Carolina does. They could end up doing something. We're hearing that's where you're hearing about Derrick Henry possibly going, which is interesting, and whoever they get at quarterback, a young quarterback, whatever happens there. But either way, Derek Carr gave himself a chance to win now, and he made more money. So whether you like Derek Carr or not, good for him, and we wish him the best over there. We'll see how it all ends up. Mo, before we go, anything you want to tell people about you got going? You had your Bleacher Report live on Friday, which was awesome. What else is coming up this week people need to pay attention to?
Got another live show, Bleacher Report. So I'll be Midtown Mo again on Thursday night, 7 p.m. Eastern Time, 4 p.m. Pacific. I'll leave the subject TBD. I like to surprise people. The other thing is at the end of the week, I'll probably have this out on Saturday because I want to give things time to marinate after the franchise tag deadline and releases and all this other stuff. I'm going to have a free agency primer specifically for the Raiders. So I'm going to have targets at each position of need, maybe 3-4 guys that I think the Raiders should either target or look at or consider signing in the next week.
Which means we will talk about that on the show next week. Also, so make sure you do that. Follow Mo on Twitter, MOEMOTON. Read him on Bleacher Report and also on sportsnot.com where you can catch all his stuff. My friend, take care of yourself. We'll talk to you on Thursday.
Same to you.
All right. So thank you guys for being with us again. We appreciate it. And yes, we didn't even get a chance to talk about the fact that Josh Jacobs was officially tagged, but we'll get to that on Thursday's show, what it means and what's happening as well. Until then, we appreciate you being with us. Make sure you subscribe to the show anywhere you get your audio. Just do that. And then if you're watching us on YouTube, always fun in the chat. Thank you guys again for being with us as you are every Tuesday and Thursday night at 9 Eastern, 6 Pacific. Thank you for that. Make sure you hit subscription and the notifications bell. All right. For our producer, David Stepanian from Omoton, I am Scott Colbranson. We'll see you next time here on Silver and Black Today, an Odyssey Original Podcast. Bye, everybody.